is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, it's going to start with me at any rate. We'll see if I can make it through the entire 2 hours. Apologies for my voice in advance. And I suppose apologies for whatever performance I'm going to turn in today. But as the old saying goes, a mediocre man is always at his best. So with that, we welcome you to the program today. Coming up, Elliot Friedman in a couple of moments. Oh, first of all, Matty Marchese, thank you so much for giving me the relief that I needed yesterday. It's been a challenging weekend. I don't know what hit me. I don't know what kind of flu bug hit me going back to last Friday night, but I was out. I sat up all weekend watching hockey games. I can barely tell you what happened, but thanks for filling in yesterday, bud.
That's what I'm here for, buddy. Any rest you need.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I thought you might take today too. Be like, you know what? I need that extra rest day. And you know, like Austin Matthews not getting out for practice and then getting out for practice. I need the rest day.
Okay. So a couple of reasons why I'm not. One, I'm okay. I'm okay enough. Like I'm at home doing the show today, right? Like I didn't come in. My doctor friend said you better be 24 hours symptom free before you go anywhere, and I'm still not. So I'm not going in. That's a courtesy to you and Lance and Jen and everybody. And listen, as my wife told me one day, this is a few years ago. So she's an artist and she's up late doing like wood burning or something, and I was watching like a late Vancouver Calgary game. And she says to me, you know, I finally figured out what you do for a living. And I said, oh, this will be interesting. And she says, you actually don't do anything. I said, what do you mean? So he goes, no, you don't actually do anything. All you do is talk about things that other people do. And she was right, as I had no comeback. So I always got to catch myself and remember, I watch hockey games and talk about them. There's no heavy lifting involved here. It's not really work, Maddie. So I'm going to try to soldier on here and get through this show. And we got podcasts to do tonight with me and Elliot coming up. So I got, I'm good enough to go. How about that? I'm good enough to go today. And like it's the time of year where you want to be on all the time,
yeah.
Right? It's playoffs. Like the regular season is the grind. The playoffs is the fun part. Right, like this is the dessert at the end of the meal. This is great. This is fun, and some interesting stuff from last night. Some interesting comments from John Cooper of the dispatched Tampa Bay Lightning. The Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights are now tied in a series where nobody wants to live at home. Shades of the 1992 AHL Calder Cup Final for all you AHL fans out there. But give me one thing, Matty, before we get to Elliot, that stood out for you from last night.
I don't know. I still don't know what goalie interference is, Jeff.
Stop. Oh, come on. No, stop.
Can I?
Here is that. Listen, everybody, goalie interference is like this. If you go inside the crease, your liability goes sky high. It happened with Duclair. It happened with Silver. Let's stop pretending to be, I don't know about goalie interference. The rule is cut and dry of how your liability goes up. So come on. Seriously, Matt?
Okay, so can I tell you something? Now I know that you're fine based on that reaction. I was testing your voice to see how many octaves we could go up.
Okay. Yeah.
I did like the John Cooper comments.
You don't believe that. You don't believe that.
Here's what I will.
Like, I think you can kind of you can kind of make the case for Duclair, but Cirelli to me is cut and dry based on how the rule is written right now.
See, that's funny because I thought it was the other way around. To be honest with you,
they're both goalie interference. Like they're both the right call. I'm sorry.
I would like. Okay, you know what? We'll get into that at 1 o'clock. I'll be quick though on this one.
Okay.
Man, that Dallas-Vegas series, like you said, nobody wants to play at home. But my biggest takeaway, because I love these goals, and this is one of the best ones that I've seen, that Dadonov goal was sick. Like, it was ridiculous. Through the legs of the defenseman, right up above, you know, Logan Thompson's shoulder. And it was a really good hockey game. Vegas took it to them physically, and Dallas just weathered the storm. Jake Ottinger's and Pete DeBoer said it after the game. Jake Ottinger's in that groove now. Be careful when he gets hot. Yeah. As advertised, a really great series and didn't start out that way. Didn't look like we were going to get 2-2 back to Dallas. I really didn't think so.
We thought we were going to get trades and firings and change everything in Dallas, and now all of a sudden it's the best 2 out of 3 and Dallas has home ice. The Dadonov goal was spectacular. We're used to seeing players like Leon Draisaitl do that. Like, look, part of that is just like flat luck. Like, it's like, okay, it's a hope shot. I get it, what he's trying to do, but it's a beautiful goal. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
As far as the physicality, that game last night, maybe had my favorite sequence of any sequence that I've seen in the playoffs so far.
Mm-hmm.
So Braden McNabb hammers Logan Stankoven by the boards. Catches him. Great hit. Clean hit.
Yep.
Violent hit. But it's clean. It's hockey and it's playoffs. And then about 2 seconds later, Jamie Benn just destroys him with a pretty much identical hit. It was, like, if you like the violent side of hockey,
mm-hmm.
that was like a perfect 10 seconds for
you. Yeah.
That was like, here you go. Here's your gift. Here's a gift of 10 seconds of pure and, mind you, clean violence.
Yeah.
Two gorgeous checks.
The thing that I love best about it was the McNabb hit is really good. And then Jamie Benn's like, oh, okay, I'm going to hold my beer. And he absolutely levels Braden McNabb. Like, open ice. It's one thing to hit. That's the other thing. It's another thing to hit a guy near the boards. When you connect clean, open ice hit like that, and the guy does almost a backflip, that's pretty good, pretty violent. I like it.
And then Ben and Mark Stone, again, going at it. This is turning into a wonderful, wonderful, well, it has been really for a while now, but this is sort of becoming as advertised. We thought it would be great, and it is a great series now, best 2 out of 3. Elliot Friedman joins me from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Hello, Friege.
How you feeling?
60%. How about that?
Well, look at you gutting it out in the playoffs. Like it.
Oh, I know. I'm such a warrior. I'm such a beast, Elliot. I'm such a beast. I want to get to the Seattle situation from yesterday in a couple of seconds here, but the games last night, and we'll start with the second team eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. 6-1 is the final. It's a pair of empty netters in there. It's not a 6-1 game. So the Bolts out in 5. Questions about Steven Stamkos. John Cooper didn't love the goalie interference calls whatsoever. To me, they seem cut and dry. We can get into that discussion if you feel like it. Barkov, I thought, was outstanding. Bobrovsky was excellent in this one as well. How did you look at last night's matchup?
Well, first of all, on the goaltender interference, I thought, you know, Kelly Rudy said it really well. On the broadcast, I don't think anyone likes these calls, but I'll say this. I understand what the league is trying to do here. Basically, what they're trying to do, Jeff, is say, if you, excuse me, if you
sound like me, I'm the sick one, Elliot, not you.
If you go into the blue paint on your own volition,
yes,
the goal is not going to count. Yes. That's basically what they're saying. Now, look, like, I agree with Kelly that Bobrovsky could have battled in both those cases. However, what the league is saying is, look, we've kind of created a line here where everybody should understand what the call is going to be. Because if you say, okay, he goes into the net, into the blue paint like Cirelli does, and then... Yeah. Bobrovsky could battle, then it becomes much more of a subjective ruling. Oh, he could have battled there.
Correct.
Oh, no, he couldn't have battled there. And to be honest, I think if that was the standard, everybody would hate it even more. So I understand why the Lightning hate it. I understand why Kelly hates it. To be honest, I think I kind of hate it. But I see what they're doing. They are trying to create a line where it's not that subjective. It's much more of, you can't call it a rule because it's not in the rule book, but it's more like a rule. And that's what I think happened there last night. Look, I mean, Florida was the better team. They deserved the series. They played hard. They played great. I mean, the Lightning played hard, really hard, but they just aren't as deep a team. Like, all those years of, and they have nothing to apologize for. They won twice and almost won a third time, but all those years of trading away picks and the salary cap crunch have finally caught up to them, and we'll see where it goes. Yeah. But Florida deserves it, and they earned it.
It certainly felt like this to me. Did it to you, the passing of the torch, or do you think Tampa will be back? Or is this like now, this is Florida State, the Panther State?
Well, I think for now, it's the Panther State. Like, they're the better team, and they have a chance to go on a little bit of a run here. But I think you underestimate the Lightning at your own peril, because they still got a chunk of really good players there. And secondly, Tampa's a place that players want to go play, right? So if they want to go out and they want to retool, they're going to be able to have the advantage of people want to go and play there. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, Jeff, suddenly there's a lot of noise out there about John Cooper and also Mike Sullivan. And I'm getting pushback on the Sullivan. And, you know, we'll hear what Cooper has to say. He's still under contract for another year. But at this time of season when there's all this noise, you kind of have to separate what's truth and what's fiction. And so, I mean, obviously at some point in time, Cooper will have his season end media conference and we'll see if there's anything to all of this. But there's just a lot of noise right now and you wonder what it all means.
Now, John Cooper yesterday was asked about Steven Stamkos. And he said what I think we all believe, that Stamkos should be there and belongs there and should be a Tampa Bay Lightning. You believe so. I believe so. I would argue the majority of the listeners / viewers right now are of the same belief. The problem is none of us hold the pen. That's just Julien Brisebois. He's the one holding the pen on this one. Do you have a sense of which way the wind is blowing on Stamkos in Tampa? We started this conversation in early October, and here we are now. The Tampa's out, and we'll pick up the conversation.
I heard, you know, listening to Cooper last night, Cooper, it was interesting. He made it sound like, I mean, I'm assuming, well, without knowing exactly what's going on, I'm sure you have a good idea of what's going on. He made it sound like it didn't have to be a long conversation. And again, it's emotional. It's right after the season ended. And I don't want to, you know, guess, but he sure made it sound like there's a deal to be made there. And he made it sound like the Lightning themselves know how important it is to make a deal. Like the one thing, just based on pure hockey, Jeff, Stamkos was one of their best players in the first round. He played as hard. He played as hard as anybody did. He was productive. You know, like to me, Tampa Bay without Stamkos, never mind how much he means to them and they mean to him, they're just not as good a team without Stamkos there, unless they think they've got something they can do that can make them better. I just think, and I've said this a lot, the Lightning know that that's where he wants to be. They know it. They went through it last time. He had all these big offers on the table. Half the league was chasing after him, and he went back to Tampa. Okay? They know that. They know he wants to be there. I think it's all going to come down to, are they going to make an offer that he feels is legitimate enough? It's going to be below market, I would bet, Jeff, but are they going to make him an offer that makes him say, yeah, that's good enough. I'll take it. And I think that's what the line here is going to be for Tampa, is you make him an offer that is below market, but you know he'll take it. And I think that's what they're going to do.
You see, that's an interesting one, because I had wondered whether the issue was the number or the length of contract. And I know there's a lot of people that the minute they hear that, they'll say, the two things are joint, dummy. Stop saying that.
No, it can be different.
What do you think the bigger issue is for Tampa?
Probably term, I would say. But again, I mean, Stamkos has become pretty durable now. Unfortunately, he wasn't always. He has become it. I just think that there's a limit to what they really think is a good idea. And again, it goes back to the last time. They know he wants to be there. They know he won't necessarily take the best offer on the table to be there. You know, I'll say this, though. Stamkos has a lot of friends around the league, a lot of people who really like him and think highly of him, some of whom still play on other teams. and they would love to convince him to come join them. I think that's true, but I think they all know that his preference is to stay where he is.
Okay, so the Florida Panthers move on. The Tampa Bay Lightning go on and go home, losing back-to-back first rounds. So losing back-to-back in the first round in back-to-back years here. Dallas 4-2 over the Vegas Golden Knights. This one was a heck of a game right from the get-go. I was mentioning to Maddie, one of my favorite, maybe top sequences in the entire playoffs so far. Braden McNabb having a good run at Logan Stankoven. Clean hit.
Yep.
And then Jamie Benn just dropping the hammer on McNabb right after. That, to me, was the classic 10 seconds of playoff violence that I think we all look for this time of year. You know, this one kind of has a, and I'm going to go way back in this for a reference here for you. This one has a 1992, you're going to know where I'm going, 1992 Calder Cup final vibe about it. Do you remember that one? Adirondack and St. John's? You remember
that
this one, Freege.
Steve Martinson and
that's one. Lonnie Loach and all those guys.
Yeah.
Lonnie Loach is . So the Barry Melrose would have coached Adirondack. Yeah. Won that one. That was the only final where the road team won every single game.
Yeah,
it had that. This series has that vibe
Greg Smith, I think, would have been on that team. Yeah,
the late great, absolutely. But excellent game last night. And again, the star emerging from all of it, Wyatt Johnson.
Wyatt Johnson again with a magnificent game, another goal off the mask, and again,
yep,
his mask was in the net, so you can't complain about it. But Dadonov got Dallas going with the goal off the mask. Johnston again, excellent last night. I think Jason Robertson's been very good. I think Haskinen played like 40 minutes. I was counting how many partners he played with last night. I think he played with three or four of the other defensemen. Like that was a Norris Trophy kind of performance. We thought this one was going to, the only disappointment of the first round, this has been kind of a, and we'll see how everything unfolds over the next few days. This has been kind of a lame first round by NHL standards. We've got one sweep. Yeah. We've got one five gamer. We've got six series that could end in five games over the next few days. Now, Dallas-Vegas, we felt it should have gone seven, and now there's a decent chance it goes seven. It's giving us the drama. But this is everything we could have wanted. I mean, credit to the Stars. Yeah. They were down, lost twice at home, big trouble. They got themselves back even to the series. We'll see what happens on Wednesday night. But this is our best hope for a long, exciting first round series, and it is everything that we expected it to be.
And don't look now, but Jake Oettinger is playing really well. 32 saves last night for the Dallas Stars.
He still makes me a little bit nervous.
Okay.
I have to tell you, he's still like, I look at him and I still get a little bit nervous, but better.
I get it. But just, you know, whenever you're feeling like that, close your eyes and think back to that Calgary series from a few years ago. Then you'll get right back on Jake Oettinger's love bandwagon. Okay, so Boston, Carolina, Colorado, and Vancouver can all advance tonight. A quick couple of thoughts on a few of these things. And that means if all those teams can advance tonight and achieve that, that means Toronto, New York, Winnipeg, and Nashville say goodbye. We'll start with the Maple Leafs. You know, it's interesting. I had one manager who listened to our podcast on Monday morning who said, you know, everyone in hockey and in and around Toronto are getting goofy about this, essentially. And I said, why is that? He said, this is more just about sequencing than anything else, you know, because, you know, Carolina was up 3-0 on the Islanders and they win a game. And now it's like, well, if the Islanders can, you know, win one more and, you know, squeak and get it back home, then all of a sudden they've got a chance, etc. But for this one, it's just been the recency bias of they won game two and they lost a pair at home. And the sequencing of it is all wrong. And that's why it feels bad to be a Maple Leafs fan.
I completely disagree. No, that's insane.
This is about sequencing.
That is insane. It's not about sequencing. I mean, I'm not going to deny that happens. I agree with the thing on the Islanders. They're down 3-0. They win a game. Everyone's like, okay, if they could just win another one. I mean, I don't feel that way.
Yeah, steal one.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I think Carolina's the better team, and the Islanders have played hard. It's just that Carolina's a little bit better. With this Toronto series, you can't blame it on sequencing. Like, that game on Saturday night was a rough night. They were completely controlled and owned by the Bruins. Like, you can't say that sequencing. Like I said, when you're paying that amount of money for tickets, you expect better entertainment than that, win or lose. And so that's what happens. But Matthews, both Toronto and Winnipeg look like they're making some big changes tonight. Toronto, it looks like Wool is playing. It looks like Giordano's playing, which I thought was actually a good idea. It doesn't look like Matthews is playing. The word yesterday was unlikely, and the way they talked, it sure seemed like it didn't skate for a long time. I mean, you know, Jeff, at this time of year, just like you going through with your radio show, people try to push through
stop.
It. I think it's unlikely, but until warm up, you don't know for sure. The thing is, like, you have to sell it. Keith and the players, they have to sell it as everybody thinks we're going to lose. We're missing our best player. How great would it feel to stuff it in everyone's face tonight? And I know a lot of people will listen to that and roll their eyes and say that's ridiculous, but that's the only way you can look at it. That's the only way you can approach it. You have to look at it as the whole, like, a lot of sports events have been won by the whole world is against us. Nobody believes in us, and we find a way. And we shock the world, Jeff. We shock the world. That's the only way
No one believes in us.
Toronto.
Yes. No one believes in us. They're all against us.
You know, and that's the thing. Everybody is piling on. Do something about it. The Jets, similar deal. Looks like, all year long you've been worshiping at the altar of Perfetti. It looks like he's playing tonight.
Down 3-1. Break glass.
Yeah. Break glass, case of emergency, Cole Perfetti. But it looks like, it looks like he's going to play tonight. They've got Ehlers up on the first line with Shifley at the morning skate. And they've got Toffoli on the fourth line. Like, it's it looks like Colin Miller actually might get a chance to play too. So, that desperate times call for desperate measures, and both of these teams are going to do that.
I was having a conversation with someone about Colorado the other day who said to me, "Do you get a 1979 final vibe about this opening round?" I'm like, holy, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but okay, why? And he said, well, what happened in the Stanley Cup Final 1979? And I go, well, that was Montreal and the New York Rangers, and Ken Dryden stunk the joint out in the first game, and they were going to go to Bunny LaRocque in game two, but then in warm-up, Doug Risebrow hit him with a puck high and injured him. And so Ken Dryden had to start game two and was brilliant, and the Habs went on to win the series 4-1.
Yeah.
And this guy said, yeah. What happens if Eustace Annunen doesn't get sick for game two? Because Georgiev went in there, and ever since game two, he's been good.
I still think Georgiev plays? Yeah, I still think they're going to give him one more game.
Really, eh?
Yeah, I do.
Everyone was ready to run him out of the league. Ready to run him out of the league, though, for each.
Yeah, but, it's just thinking about the way they've done things all year, I could be wrong. If we see Colorado down the road, I'll ask Bednar and see if he says anything. I'm getting the full merit today, eh? Like, the 1992 Calder Cup, the 1979 Stanley Cup Final. What's next? Like, the 1954 World Championships?
That's all the drugs talking. Like, I'm just pumping myself full of, like, Advils and Tylenols and Neocitrins and all kinds of remedies. So that's all coming out now over the next couple of hours under these hot TV lights.
Ha ha ha.
Well, I'll start with like 1976 Gilles Meloche references and Gilles Gratton references, and I'll dovetail this somehow into the Avco Cup, and we'll tighten it all up. Well, we are talking about Winnipeg, after all. So there you go with the Avco Cup references. Vancouver can close out tonight against the Nashville Predators. I don't know. I still get the feeling this one can go. I know we talk about, you know, maybe the Dallas Vegas series is the only one that could go seven. I still think this one can go six or seven. Don't you?
Yeah, I do. I like, you know, Nashville was, that's a tough loss, but they're right there. I do. Like, you the odds are that not all of these series are going to end in five, and I would agree with you that the one to me that looks like it has the best chance for an extension of the Predators. Again, they got to do it on the road. Vancouver is going to feel very good about itself after that game, after those two games, and why not? How many times have you seen a series 3-1? You're like, it's over. And then all of a sudden you're in game seven. It happens all the time.
Yep.
That's why I thought what the Rangers did was really, like, the Panthers didn't blow out the Lightning last night. The Lightning were on them. They were beating them. They had the two disallowed goals, and finally the Panthers grabbed the series. But the Rangers, like, they had the killer instinct. They ended it quick. And, you know, like, if you're Colorado, you got to do that tonight. If you're Boston, you got to do that tonight. If you're Vancouver, you got to do that tonight. You just do not want to. And if you're Edmonton, you've got to do that tomorrow. You just don't want to give anyone momentum.
Yeah. Before I wrap up, a couple of things quickly, and we'll see if we can squeeze some time about TJ Oshie here. But Dave Hakstol and assistant Paul McFarland dismissed yesterday from the Seattle Kraken. We wondered about Hakstol and his future with Seattle. Look, it's a tough business. I get it. That's harsh. It's a difficult call for Ron Francis here. I think you and I might be on the same page on this one, that it sounds like could be, probably is, Dan Bylsma, currently coaching Coachella Valley, who are in a second-round series against the Calgary Wranglers. Did this one catch you at all?
It did. I was surprised. Look, like, it's amazing. There's four coaches who haven't had extensions kicked in yet who got fired this year.
Yeah,
and that's not going to make owners happy. That's going to hurt coaches. That is going to hurt the coaches. Unless you really have the leverage, that's going to be a problem for these guys. I was surprised simply because, you know, they went second round of the playoffs last year. A couple of years ago, they were what you would expect of an expansion team. Last year, they were a 100-point team. And they went to the second round of the playoffs, and this year they were kind of the average. They were, I think I used the line regress to the mean. You know, I'm going to think about this a little bit more for the podcast tonight, Jeff, but did you watch Ron Francis's availability yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ron Francis is the ultimate cool and calm person. He would be a really
very
good
much.
Poker player. He doesn't give much away. That was as, I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word, but that was as uncomfortable and annoyed I ever saw him doing a media conference. Like, you could tell this was not something he wanted to do.
I have a theory. I'm glad you brought that up. And we're running out of time here, so we'll do more on the pod. I have a theory on that, and that's this. That this is just the
beginning. Does it have to do with the 1976 Canada Cup?
No, but it has to do with young Ron Francis playing a minor Adam in Sault Ste. Marie. And you want to go? No. No, but I think this is just the beginning of the Seattle Kraken doing significant things in the offseason.
I agree.
That's
with
my
you.
Theory, that this isn't just done in isolation. That's why I think we saw that version of Ron Francis. Agree or disagree?
Yes, I agree. We'll talk more about it tonight in the CarCast, but I do agree.
Okay, on that we'll...
That's what's called
we'll
a wrap. Listener hook.
We'll talk to you.
In broadcasting
Ooh,
school.
I know.
Listener hook, yeah.
What could this possibly mean for you as a hockey fan? The answer tomorrow morning on 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Okay, Fridge, talk to you soon.
All right, take care, man.